So we thank God for another good morning that God has given us to listen to His word. And we carry on looking at this wonder of the day of Pentecost. And yesterday we were able to see that, you know, miraculous things happened. And the most miraculous that could be seen, that was the evidence of the new tongues. New tongues that were understood by others, but they themselves did not know it, and we declared that, you know, it's an impossibility, humanly speaking, to learn a new language in a day. You know, even it will take at least 3 months or something like that, but the believers were able to declare words that were declaring the wonders of God, that the men called them to be full of new wine. And let's just read that, Acts chapter 2 from verse 5. The Bible says, "And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when the sound occurred," that means, just if you can think about it, that the sound was heard by almost everyone. The sound was heard. Then they heard the sound of people speaking in tongues and declaring God. So the multitude came together. And the Bible says, when this sound occurred, that means they heard the sound from heaven. Amazing, amazing, amazing. They gathered. So God announced it. God announced it. God announced His revival, His move, and God wanted the whole world to know that His Spirit has been poured out. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused, because everyone heard them speak in his own language. Verse 7, "They were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, 'Look, are not all these who speak Galileans? And how is it that we hear each in our own language in which we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites, those dwelling in Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya, adjoining Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them speaking in our own tongues the wonderful works of God.' So they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, 'Whatever could this mean?' Others mocking, saying, 'They are full of new wine.'" So you see, with the outpouring of the Spirit, and this is what happens with revivals. Revivals are often mocked, you know, they're often considered to be, you know, what kind of move is this? What is this with the young people that are throwing themselves down? You know, why are people singing on the streets? Why are people evangelizing? There's always that question whenever God releases something new in the world, because we've always put God in a box. That's the problem of religion, that we've always limited God to function in one way, to function in a certain way. And when God chooses to do something new on the earth, and remember, there are things that God will always do new. When the Bible says, "No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what the Lord has prepared for those who love Him, for those who are called according to His purposes," and He says, "But He has revealed them to us by His Spirit." That means that if there are things that have been seen on the earth, that means God is not speaking about those things. He's still speaking about things that no eye has seen. He's still thinking about things that no ears had, no mind has conceived. There are things of the Spirit that God is going to release, that God is going to pour out, that we are yet to see. When He says, "I will show you wonders in the heavens and in the skies," that means there are things, that wonderful things that God wants to show His people. So one of the immediate wonders, apart from the sound, apart from the divided tongues of fire, was now the miracle wonders of language. And we have seen all these different persons. You remember, these were people who were proselytes, you know, and there were two kinds. There were people who were Jews who were coming from all these regions, but there were also people who were native born from all these other places who were seeking the God of the Jews, you know, because there were people who had been converted, you know, and they were, you know, practicing Jews, and even though they were not from from the nation of Israel. They will come for the festivals. And remember, we said all the, you know, all the infrastructure was in place for the gospel to be spread. There were the Roman roads which were paved. There were, you know, the Greek language, which was the universal language in the that known world at this point. The Romans were in power. They, you know, they conquered people, but they allowed them to keep their culture, to keep their religion. So all that was available, and it is the spread of the gospel. Why? Because it was the fullness of time. God always brings things to perspective in the fullness of time. When the fullness of time, there is no struggle. When the fullness of time is has come, God has prepared the way. You know, the things that you need are ready. When Jesus sent his disciples to go and look for, you know, for a house, the where they will spend the Passover, and he tells them, go and find this man, and he will show you, he will take you to the upper room, and you'll find him carrying water. He'll take you to the upper room and ask him, where is the room that where the master will spend the Passover? And he will say, you'll find all things are ready. So there are things that God prepares that are ready, things that are ready for you. They are just ready for you to step into in. And if you live a life of expectation, a life that knows that the Holy Spirit has gone ahead of you, God has prepared good things, good works, that we may walk into it. He is the one that daily loads us with benefits. He is always in preparation for us. Our job is to walk in it. Our job is to be ready for that outpouring. And the disciples were ready. They were ready. They did not know what it meant. I don't believe Jesus explained to them that when the Holy Spirit comes upon them, that they are going to be, you know, speaking in tongues. All they knew is that when the Holy Spirit, they were told, they shall receive power. When the Holy Spirit comes, and they shall be witnesses. So what Jesus promised them is power. Power, dunamis power, dynamic power, which this is the miraculous faculty, the power that enables them to do miracles. They were promised that they shall do miraculous signs. And you can see the speaking in a new language. This is the first or one of the first miraculous signs that is coming unto them. And you see, it brings confusion, because whenever God is releasing a new thing, no one will understand. The Pharisees, the religious persons will fight it. So in fact, some of the greatest battles will come from church, you know, and from those within the circles who will say, this cannot be God. God cannot move like this. You know, when the Pentecostal movement was started, and people will start to fall under the anointing, you know, and this happened especially with Maria Etta Woodward, you know, and she had this vision where, you know, sheaves, people with sheaves were falling as they were falling before her, and in a way God revealed to her that, you know, that people will start falling under the anointing in her meetings. And this is what began to happen. And of course, the whole world at that time questioned it. They said, this cannot be true. This is, you know, the work of the devil. It's an evil spirit. But the miracles were real. People were giving experiences where, you know, they fell under the anointing. And they went into various visions and trances where God revealed more of himself to him. And it was happening and happening and happening. And the more the media came, the more the people came. But the greatest critics were fellow believers, fellow leaders, and fellow, you know, evangelists who were like, oh, no, this cannot be. She's a divorced woman. Why is God doing that? This cannot be of God. And all these things came up. And you can see, even on the day of Pentecost, people were very quick to mock them, since they did not understand the label. You know, many times when they don't understand you, they are going to label you. They are going to look for a tag, an easy tag that they can use to demoralize you or to degrade and to devalue what God is doing in your life. But you see, if you stay focused, if you stay and interpret things from the lens of Scripture, and this is clearly what Peter did. He interpreted what was happening, and I believe it wasn't by his effort. It was by the enlightenment, by the illumination of the Holy Spirit, to confirm to him that actually what is happening is not something that was not written, but rather it is a fulfillment of scriptures. When the Bible tells us that every day of our lives was written in his book before it came to be. You know, when Jesus says, I have come in the volume of the book to do your will, to do everything that is written concerning me. You know, God has written for with us and written for us destinies that he will desire that we walk in. And any man that seeks the face of heaven, this destiny can be unveiled to them. These scrolls can be unveiled that you can know without a shadow of doubt that this is what God created me to do. This is what he enables me to do, and this is where he wants me to be at. And God expects that we shall shine for his glory. We shall be witnesses of his glory. We shall be glorify his holy name, that by what we do, by what we say, by what we experience, that we shall walk in the newness of God, and we shall be vessels that shall bring him glory. So you can see, the people mock them, they say, they are full of new wine. That means they are drunk. But then Peter stands up. This is the boldness of the Spirit. Peter, the timid one, stands up and said, but Peter, verse 14, but Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words. For these are not drunk as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. That means it's just 9 a.m. How can you say these people are drunk? Do you think there is a bar that is open? Do you think that people will be get drunk by 9 a.m. in the morning? No. And he says, for these are not drunk as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. Verse 16, but this is what was spoken of by the prophet Joel. And what did prophet Joel say? And it shall come to pass in the last days. Oh, I love how the scriptures put it. Things will come to pass. There are things that God has spoken that must come to pass in your life. They will come to pass. It doesn't matter how long it has taken. It doesn't matter how long it has delayed. It doesn't matter what looks like it is the end of the road, that indeed men have forgotten. Suddenly, it was just suddenly, as the disciples were discouraged, as they were praying together, as they were locked up in the upper room, suddenly the miraculous begins to happen. And it says, and it shall come to pass in the last days that God, says God, I will pour out of my spirit on all flesh. This is the outpouring. Remember, we speak of the Holy Spirit as oil, you know, or as water. God cannot be exhausted. He can give you his spirit and still remain fully God. And the spirit he has given you is God himself. You know, he pours out of himself. He says, I will pour out of myself, out of my spirit on all flesh. There is an outpouring that is available. And the Bible has said it shall come to pass. So Peter is interpreting that which was spoken, that which has been prophesied. And Joel prophesied, you know, thousands of years back, because they were speaking by the Holy Spirit. They were not speaking of their own accord. You know, the Bible tells us that men of old, the prophets, tried to look in, hide into the days of Christ. They tried to interpret and see, well, how is it that God will walk on earth, that God will come in flesh as a man. They tried to interpret. They tried to look into these things, but it was not given to them. It was not given to them. Yes, they had the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will come upon them and leave them. He will in and out. But we are walking in a different dimension. We are walking in a different time where the Holy Spirit comes to indwell the believer and stays with the believer. And we have the Spirit of God right in our hearts, right in our members. And he's living within us and is there to enable us to overcome, is there to enable us to, you know, to know that we are sons of God. And so it says, it shall come to pass in the last days that I will pour out of my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. What was Peter doing? Peter was prophesying at this point. Prophecy, as you say, is declaring the message from God to the people. You know, we often think of prophecy as predicting the future. Yes, that is a part of it. But the prophecy in the New Testament was actually preaching the word of God. When God says Barnabas, they sent Barnabas, you know, and Paul to them, who were prophets. They were speaking and they greatly encouraged the people. Prophecy is given for edification, you know, for building up, for correction, for training. They were prophets and the church was encouraged. So prophecy is the declaration of the word of God. And when the Spirit of God has empowered you, has come upon you, then you know that there is a certain boldness in the Spirit that God gives you to be able to be an effective witness. You are given the language. You are given the direction. You are given the grace. You are given the favor. You are given the opportunities, the open doors that might not be available to every man. Then God becomes invested in you. God is invested in your story when you bear His Spirit. When you have come into the faith and you have received His Spirit and you are baptized, now God places His mark on you. He puts a seal on you and says, "These ones I am sealed with them until the day of redemption, until that final day." Our faith that is our resurrection. Our faith is that Jesus Christ is coming back for us. He's coming back for a guiltless church, a cleansed church, one that is cleansed by His own blood. He is the one that will present us to the Father with great joy, with glorious, great glory and great joy. Why? Because He is our sustainer. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. Our faith rests on Christ. We will not attain heaven because of our effort. No, it will be by continuing to put our faith in Christ and not looking back. Not looking back at discouragement. Not looking back at disappointments, at where people have abandoned us. But looking unto Christ. When you fix your eyes on Jesus, it won't matter what is happening around you. Yes, there may be chaos here and there. But there is a promise. There is a promise of the Spirit of God. This is not just an evil spirit. This is the greatest blessing that God promised, that the Father promised. And that's why Jesus said, "I will ask the Father, and He shall give you the gift of the Holy Spirit, the gift that He's promised." So the Father promised this, the Spirit, to us. Remember the time of Moses. Moses asked God, "God, just take a portion of my spirit, of the spirit that you put in me, and distribute to these 70 elders, that they may join me in doing the work of God." And God did that. The 68 men were with Moses, the elders, and God took all the spirit that was on Moses and divided it and put it on the elders. You know, in that division, it's not that they received 1/70. No, they received the same Spirit. The same Spirit. Think on the day of Pentecost. Each of them, they received the same Spirit. Tongues divided the fire. All of the same Spirit. When the Holy Spirit is poured upon us, we receive the same Spirit that the apostles received. We receive the same Spirit that came upon Moses and the 70 elders, that even two elders who were not with those of Moses but were in their tents, they started to prophesy in their own tents. They received the same Spirit. Oh, what a blessing to have the same Spirit that also Jesus received, that made Him a miracle worker, that enabled Him to do every work and to fulfill every work that He required to do as the Son of God. Yes, we need the Holy Spirit. We need the Comforter. We need God walking in us and walking with us. We need God to continue to meet us at our points of need, you know, to direct our steps. And He is not a discriminator. He does not discriminate from men or women, from young or from old. He says, "And I'll pour out of my spirit, your sons and daughters shall prophesy. They shall preach the word of God." Boldness is released when we come into the presence of God. You could have been preaching before, but there is a difference when you are a man of the Spirit. from the day that you got empowered with the Holy Spirit and you had the evidence of speaking in tongues. Oh, when you speak, people understand. There's something that has shifted. This man is not preaching the same. He's not speaking from his head. He is speaking from the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is carrying him. The Bible tells us how men of old spoke as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit, as they were inspired by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is available even today to inspire us, not only to write, but also to speak the words of God. Yes, we have modern problems, but the same Holy Spirit knows the problems of our times. He says he's able to teach us how we can live self-controlled and upright lives in this present age. So it doesn't matter with the ages, with the eons that have changed. When the Holy Spirit is with you, he will teach you. He will guide you into all truth, and he will release the visions. You can see the young men shall see visions. The old man shall dream dreams. The Holy Spirit speaks to us. He wants us to know the way. Who would want to lead you and not show you the way? No. God wants you to know where you're going. God wants you to know the journey that you go with him. That he says, hear my voice, my sheep, hear my voice, and they follow me. If we are willing to follow, we shall see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. We shall see the good things that he has prepared for us. We shall see the signs and wonders. Yes, men will think we are drunk, but the Bible tells us, do not be drunk with wine, which leads to debauchery and in excess, but rather be filled with the Spirit of God. Let us be filled. Let us be filled. Let us continually seek his glory. Let us continually seek his presence. And even as we pray, let us always be praying, Lord, give me more of you. Fill me afresh. Give me more of you. Let me be more like you. And as we do that, we shall walk in the newness, in the power, and in the grace of the Spirit. I'll stop here and I pray that God gives us insight into this. Welcome, my brother.
Thank you, Dr.
Martin. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your Spirit that is available for us, for the miraculous, to do great and mighty things that no eye has seen, that no ear has heard, that no mind has conceived, that which you have prepared for us. Father, you have done it to us. You have revealed it to us by your Spirit. I thank you that your word is alive in us, O God, that even though man will think one thing, but you are the one that gives the insight. You are the one that brings new things. You establish us for your glory. Thank you for your word that continues to affirm in our hearts, cleanse our hearts by your Spirit, O God. Renew us, refresh us, regenerate us, O God. Enable us, O God, to be continue in the sanctification that you have called us to, O God. Cleanse our hearts, cleanse our minds, cleanse our thoughts, O God. Help our families, O God. Be with them, O God. We rebuke sickness from our midst, O God, from our households, O God. We rebuke every attacks of the enemy, O God. We cancel every discouragement, every spirit of death, every issues of the enemy, O God. Thank you for your children. Thank you for the service today, O God, that it is blessed and ordered of you. You've gone ahead of us. You've spoken to us. You've released your word to us, O God, for your glory. May we walk in the newness. May we walk in the grace. May we walk in the power. We bless your name and we honor you. Pray all this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Shalom. Blessed, blessed day.